happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus
wore. When Jesus wore.
Oh, when he wore.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting live from our studios in New York City. We're going to talk about a study from Harvard University about the amount of fat in your diet and how it either contributes to or in some way impacts how long you're going to live. Interesting study. And also from the University of Tokyo, when you don't have enough coenzyme Q10, well, bad things happen, and I'll tell you what those are. Also from the Technion Israel Institute of Technology, they're talking about tickling the brain can boost immunity. What's it mean, tickling the brain? It means stimulating the brain's feel-good center, boost your immunity. How do you do that? We'll talk about it. From Baylor College of Medicine, testosterone treatment for older men ignites sexual interest. That'll be good for a lot of people. And a lot more on health and healing. Then I'm going to do a call to the audience to give us your input on a particular issue. The question is, do college students hate free speech? Well, the question is, let's ask them. And someone did. I'll add in a few thoughts, and then I'm going to ask you to respond, not just to their comments directly on free speech, but to what is happening to an entire generation. There are exceptions, of course. And what can be done about it? And if nothing is done about it, what is the likely outcome from it? Also today, since Hillary Clinton, in my personal opinion, was given a pass, and this is not the first time her or her husband had been given these passes by official Washington, but I'm not going to give her a pass, and I'm going to go back to the beginning of the Clintons' era, back in Arkansas, because you have to know what they were doing then. Proven documentation, and in fact, you're going to hear from people from Arkansas about the Clintons and what it was like doing business with them, guarding them, being in their employee, because this tells us who they really are. You know, it's one thing when you see someone reading off a teleprompter, having a group think about what we should say, why we should say it, how we can inspire people, having all the best people project things that really aren't yours, and then just seeing the person as they really are day to day. We're going to start that today, a series of 10 short clips. Also, have you ever wondered what it would be like if you could meet someone who is very powerful, but who has not been doing things the way they should be done? What would you say to them? You're going to hear this today from Larry Wilmore. He was at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. There's the President of the United States sitting beside him, and all these famous, you know, journalists, television personality, Wolf Blitzer, they were all there. Never heard anyone do what he did. I think you'll find it interesting. And also I'm going to talk a bit about the very existence of the National Security Agency, according to John Kurosawa, is illegal. Who knew? Also revealed for the first time today, the CIA funding companies that specialize in social media spying. Again, who knew? And did you know, according to a new report from Derek Browse of Mint Press, that the FBI is using hidden microphones in public spaces. Which spaces? Why? What does that mean? I'll talk about that. So we have a lot to share with you, so let's begin. This is from Harvard University. Here's what they're saying. That consuming higher amounts of unsaturated fats was associated with lower death. And in a large study, followed for more than 30 years, researchers found that higher consumption of saturated and trans fats, there's your lard that's used in French fries and cookies and potato chips, was associated with higher death compared with the same number of calories from carbohydrates. More importantly, replacing saturated fats with unsaturated fats conferred substantial health benefits. And that is important. So what's that mean in lay language? It means stop using butter, lard, all right? The eating red meat because you're getting the saturated fats from red meat. Instead, go to the healthy fats in your plant-based foods such as olives and soybeans. Avocado is one of the best things you can have. Tahini, that's made from sesame seeds, and it's good fats. Walnut oil is good, and eating walnuts are good. Those are the healthy fats, and coconut. Coconut was the exception to the saturated fats being very healthy for you. This was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association's Journal of Medicine. Now, that's just one of the things we should be doing, but also we should pay attention to a nutrient that our cells normally have. It's called ubiquinone, or more commonly used, the vernacular coenzyme Q10. Now, this is in the University of Tokyo, and they found that when you have low levels, and by the way, if you're taking statin drugs that I do not recommend anyone ever take, you're going to have low levels of coenzyme Q10 because statins destroy coenzyme Q10, making your brain age prematurely, your heart age prematurely, more likely to have a heart attack. That's the irony. That's like taking a mini aspirin. Yeah, you'll thin the blood, helps prevent clotting, which can help prevent strokes. But you also, that aspirin destroys vitamin C, B6, folic acid, and B12. That's what prevents homocysteine, which is an important inflammatory marker, and when it's elevated, you're more likely to have a heart attack. So let's understand this. Taking a mini aspirin will prevent strokes, but increase your risk of a heart attack. Doesn't seem very smart. Whereas if you took coenzyme Q10, it would prevent heart attacks and prevent strokes. Taking vitamin C prevents heart attacks and strokes. Vitamin E prevents heart attacks and strokes. It's just the medical model will not get it right. Here's what they're saying. Quote, researchers have found low levels of coenzyme Q10 in people with multiple system atrophy, suggesting supplementation of coenzyme Q10 could help. Yes, it could. This was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association's Neurology. When you have multiple systems atrophy, atrophy means in the body that the system is not functioning as it should, and it's like turning in the keys in a car and the engine's not starting. So that means that your lungs, your brains, whatever system is not working, is atrophying, is dying. So you need coenzyme Q10. I would suggest between 1 to 300 milligrams a day, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, one in the evening, unless you have heart conditions or neurological conditions, memory loss, let's say if you had Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and then you can go up into very high amounts, but you should only do so with the guidance of someone who is qualified in nutrition who can help you. For the women who have PMS, University of California, Davis had a study published in the Journal of Women's Health showing that it's linked to inflammation. I can remember about 7 years ago, we conducted a study. Dr. Martin Feldman was supervising the study, and we conducted a study. There was Luann Panessi, myself, and lecturing every single bi-week for a year, 26 meetings. To get in the study, you had to have at least three symptoms common to the menopausal syndrome, including, let's say, thinning of the eyebrows, thinning of the hair, weight gain and yet not eating extra calories, mood swings, fatigue, breaking of the nails, fingernails and toenails, cracking, fungus, faulty immune system. Those were some of the conditions. There are over 50. And we work with people. At the end of that year, we had the most remarkable turnaround in people's health ever seen in any menopausal study ever. The results were published, and I was invited to go to the World Congress on Anti-Aging Medicine, where Dr. Feldman and I made a presentation in Chicago, and every single symptom was reversed in most of the women. Energy improved, thinning of the mucous membranes of the vagina, where it made it impossible or very painful to have intercourse. They now could have normal intimate relations without fear of bleeding and infections and pain. The skin on their body began to tighten, wrinkles removed, hair regrown. All this happened. And I explained to the group, the one thing that's causing almost all the menopausal symptoms we see is inflammation. So when we're suggesting you don't have any of the things that cause inflammation, there's a reason for it. Dairy causes inflammation, alcohol inflammation, coffee inflammation, fried foods inflammation, meat inflammation. And so when they gave all that up, then we can begin to see the healing process. So that's 7 years ago. Now we go to write this week, University of California, quote, certain premenopausal symptoms such as mood changes, breast pain, and abdominal cramps are linked with inflammation. Okay. The quote, the study is a rare look at inflammation and its association with premenstrual syndrome, which can disrupt the lives of many women. Quote, premenstrual syndromes are not well studied, even though they affect most women, some of them significantly. It's important to understand the physiology of these symptoms because it's the first step in gaining insights that may improve treatments. And by the way, just to give you an idea, I was putting women over 35 years ago on anti-inflammatory programs and helping them by taking evening primrose oil and B6 at high doses, magnesium, and they were able to overcome premenstrual cramping. And from the Technion Israel Institute of Technology, artificially stimulating the brain's feel-good center boosts immunity and could help explain the power of placebos. Quote, our findings indicate that activation of areas of the brain associated with positive expectations can affect how the body copes with diseases. And this was published in Nature Medicine. So what does this mean? Well, it means this, that you have immune cells of different type in the body. And then those immune cells are coexisting in your overall biochemistry. So let's just say that you're stimulated by something. You're going to go on a vacation. You're going to go out on a date with someone new. You're going to go to a new restaurant. You're going to go to a new movie you've been looking forward to seeing, or a concert or play. You have an evening alone, and without the kids, and you can just you and your partner enjoy each other, take your time, and have a meal. Whatever you're going to do, those are all positive expectations. And every time you have a positive expectation, you're actually stimulating the immune system in a positive way. Now, this shouldn't be new. There are over 2,000 articles in the peer-reviewed literature on mind-body medicine. And I've interviewed so many people. In fact, I went back to interview the very first person who told us about this, Dr. Hans Selye, the father of stress psychology. Meaning that when you're stressed, either chronically or acutely stressed, acute means in this moment, chronic is every day, that it adversely affects your immune system. And then there were those like Dr. Lawrence Lachan, who I work with at the Institute of Plant Biology, Dr. Gerald Kessler, who was the chief psychiatrist, City of New York, and many others. And they all had something in common, and they were all right. And that is, what you think, your biochemistry immediately produces. And hence, if you get yourself into a positive mood because you're excited by something, including your work, that's all really good. A friend of mine is a very famous artist, and every day he stops off to say hello on his way to walks down to his studio. And considering how much paint he's brought into his lungs and the fact that he works late at night, sometimes overnight, you have to wonder how he's made it this far in life. And the answer is relatively simple. He does eat well. Not perfect, but he eats well. But he loves his work. He really gets excited. You see it in his eyes when he says, now, Gary, I'm working on this, and I'm trying something, and then you go down. Hey, you got to come and see it. So I go down, and I see it. Wow, that's really, really creative, very terrific. He's excited by his own life experience each day. How many of us can say that? That means that that's building his immune system on a daily basis. We have to understand that our thoughts and our moods can either help us or harm us, which is one of the reasons in my new health support group, I invited people who are depressed or anxious, because if you're either anxious or depressed, you're going to prematurely age yourself, you're destroying your immune system, and you're more susceptible to dying early. So let's find ways that we can help a person get out of their depression and their anxiety and live happy lives. Because you can't be healthy if you're not happy. Happiness is the first key to health. Otherwise, if I gave you a perfect diet, perfect vitamins, if you weren't happy, it's not going to make a huge difference. It'll make a little difference, but not a big difference. So that's what they're saying here. Be excited by things. Be excited and stimulate yourself with projects, hobbies, people. You know, I lost a lot of friends in the last year and a half, 7. And some were very close lifetime friends that I knew from the time I was in New York City. And others were professional friends where we would talk, we would meet, we would discuss things, we'd work together on projects. Didn't socialize, but you know, they're still a friend, and you care about them as a human being. And they all had something in common. They all love their work. They look forward to their work. Now, they weren't all good on nutrition. Some had terrible diets, didn't exercise, and didn't deal with stress in the best ways. And those really count. And when I was trying to help find Luann Panessi, and I helped find Dr. Martin Feldman, his patients, other doctors to see, and there were about 16 other doctors in the tri-state area that we managed to get all the patients into other doctors' hands, at least who did something, not what Feldman did, but some of it. The head of his office, who had worked with him for about 25 years, said, just thought I'd tell you, Gary, Marty lit up like a light bulb every week when you'd all go out with a bunch of you and you go to your dinner and your movie and your play and your walk up Broadway, and that's all we talk about. You talk about how much fun they had and you're always laughing, and it was so he looked forward to that all week. That's what he looked forward to. That was his happy time. And he'd talk about that for a day afterwards. He'd talk about the movie you saw and your comments on it, or the play and how you walked out of it, but then you went to see another art movie up the street and how much fun you had. Just, well, that's important. Looking forward even to that once-a-week dinner in a play and or a movie and friendship, just sharing something together, that everyone should be doing. If you're blessed and fortunate enough to have friends, don't take them for granted. See them. Make them a part of your life. Not, oh, has it been that long? How long has it been? I'm so damn busy. No, that isn't honoring your friendship. If you're going to have relationships, friendships, honor them. Spend quality time with them without cell phones. One rule we had, nobody could bring a cell phone because that would not honor the people in the space that you were in. So that's what it means to re-stimulate your brain, and that helps you live longer and helps you prevent aging and helps you feel better and helps your biochemistry, and it even helps your microorganisms in your gut. All that from being excited. And finally, from Baylor College of Medicine, this is about testosterone treatment. Now, there's natural testosterone treatment, and this was published in Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism. Quote, testosterone is a hormone that declines with age in humans. Yes and no. If you're eating good, and you're eating a lot of green vegetables, and you're eating soy, an organic soy, no, rarely comes down. If you're exercising daily, aerobically, and in resistance, no, you're producing human growth hormone. So there's no reason you should have any great drop-off. But if you're eating meat, yes. If you're not exercising, you've got a pot belly, yes. If you're eating traditional American food, which is unhealthy, yes. If you're depressed, yes. If you're anxious, yes. All that will impact your testosterone. So it's not the same for everyone. So here it is. They're saying, get your testosterone and your sex life goes way up because your whole body biochemistry is impacted by your testosterone levels. That I would agree with. I'm Gary Knoll. That's the latest on health and healing. We're going to take a break, come back. We got a lot more to share. Please stay with us. So many wonderful evenings with so many wonderful friends, and the music, I loved it. By the way, in the near future, I'm going to rent a disco for an evening, get the best of the disco music, and we're going to have another party for all the listeners. I'll let you know when that happens. Now, some quick things here. This is from Derek Braz of Mint, says, a former special agent for the FBI is blowing the whistle about the Bureau's practice of installing microphones in public spaces, including trees, courthouses, and bus stops. Okay. Well, we are an overly monitored society. That doesn't surprise me. Another here. This is Common Dreams. The war on drugs is, quote, an unmitigated disaster. Who says? Former Latin America's leaders, heads of state. Now, this was in the Los Angeles Times, quote, that's the war on drugs, unmitigated disaster, that's a resounding judgment of three former Latin American heads of state who write in an op-ed published in the Los Angeles Times, and it's saying that it's impacting human rights and people's health. And they're talking about Fernando Cardoza, former president of Brazil, Cesar Gavieri, former president of Colombia, and Ernesto Zedillo, former president of Mexico. A better solution for member states, they say, is to pursue, quote, that actually promotes the health and welfare of humanity. The criminalization and incarceration of drug users doesn't work. It's a medieval practice. And get rid of it. I absolutely would agree. I believe that all drugs should be legalized. But because an awful lot of people, their biochemistries are completely upset out of homeostasis. We should have holistic, humanistic treatment centers that are open to the public, free of charge, in every community in the United States, where people can go, get off the drugs, not be criminalized, and then get, and I have a holistic protocol. I was a head of addiction control at Trafalgar Hospital for years. I've worked with thousands and thousands of drug addicts, and I have a very high rate of non-recidivism. I can get them off, detoxified, in the fastest way possible. So anyone in this audience who works with drug addicts who would like to have holistic protocols, I'm happy to share them with you. And that's what we should have in every center. Holistic protocols that rebalance body biochemistry, the brain, help them as well, the central nervous system, so they don't go back on. But if they do use the drugs, then they should not be criminalized. And every single person in prison, unless it's a violent crime, but all nonviolent should be let out of jail and their entire criminal record expunged, and so they can get back into society. This is from John Kirikawa, and it's published in Reader Support, supportednews.org. Quote, the Washington Post reported last week that the National Security Agency soon would begin to provide local law enforcement with data on American citizens intercepted without probable cause and without warrant. This data has nothing whatsoever to do with terrorism. It could conceivably be used against any American for any reason. And most Americans shrugged their shoulders when the news became public. But the Massachusetts ACLU published a blog post that tried to explain why this is so important and so dangerous to our civil liberties. And he goes on to talk about this. And then he says that this is what I found interesting. Civil libertarians around the country will argue fervently that this is illegal and unconstitutional. It is, of course, but I would go further. I would argue that the very existence of the National Security Agency is illegal. National Security Agency, the NSA, is not like the CIA or the National Security Council, which were created by the National Security Act of 1947. The National Security Agency was created in 1952 by presidential executive order. That sounds fine, but only Congress can create a federal agency. President Truman did it unilaterally at the time, and nobody in Congress complained. Okay, well, he's saying, John Kirikawa was saying, it's illegal then. All right? Wouldn't it be nice if we were able to abolish it? And I want you to hear what Larry Wilmore has to say in front of the President of the United States and in front of all these hundreds of correspondents, including Wolf Blitzer, at the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
I want to thank the President. It looks like you're really enjoying your last year of the presidency. Saw you hanging out with NBA players like Steph Curry, Golden State Warriors. That was cool, yeah. You know, it kind of makes sense, too, because both of you like raining down bombs on people from long distances, right? That's true. What? Am I wrong? What? Speaking of drones, how is Wolf Blitzer still on television? Ask a follow-up question. Good. Hey, Wolf, I'm ready to project tonight's winner. Anyone that isn't watching the Situation Room? And let me just say, Mr. President, the office has taken its toll on you. You look terrible, Mr. President. No, you do, man. I mean, look at you. Your hair is so white, it tried to punch me at a Trump rally. President's hair is so white, it keeps saying, all lives matter. All right, fine. In less than 8 years, Mr. President, you busted two time-honored stereotypes, black does crack. And apparently, once you go black, it looks like we are going back. Yeah. Thanks, Ben Carson. Oh, by the way, you guys, Black Lives Matter is here tonight? I'm just kidding. Relax, white people. They're not here. It's just a joke. Just relax. But I am impressed with the people in this room. There are so many rich, powerful people in this room. You know, it's nice to finally match the names to the faces in the Panama Papers. It's very nice, right? You know what I'm saying? It's nice to see them go together. I've been watching CNN a long time. Yep. Used to watch it back when it was the news network. I did. Was it all CNN here tonight? MSNBC? MSNBC here tonight? No? Which actually now stands for Missing a Significant Number of Black Correspondents. Am I wrong? Did you guys see they like fired Melissa Harris Perry? They canceled Joy Reid. They booted Ture. I heard they put Chris Hayes on probation because they thought he was related to Isaac Hayes. That's wrong. MSNBC got rid of so many black people. I thought Boko Haram was running that network. What was going on? Senator Bernie Sanders is here tonight. Senator recently had a hernia operation. His doctors say it's his own fault for trying to lift the hopes of the disenfranchised. You got to stretch before you do that, Senator. I have to give you credit, though, Bernie. You are trying hard to get the black vote. I think it's great. Bernie's been hanging around with rapper Killer Mike, or as Hillary Clinton calls him, Super Predator Mike. You know? Sure. But, man, you have to admit, it is a really tough race between Senator Bernie Sanders and Democrat nominee Hillary Clinton. Hillary's had some awkward interactions with Black Lives Matter. She has, man. You know it's bad when her immediate response is, can't we talk about Benghazi? Please? And Bernie got in trouble. Remember, Bernie, you got in trouble for saying Hillary was unqualified? That's right. Hillary, she is extremely qualified. In fact, when you factor in all of her policy flip-flops, she is at least several of the most qualified candidates ever to run for president. You know I'm not wrong. Oh, I just got a note for the president saying that if you want another drink, you should order it now because the bar will be closing down. Of course, he said the same thing about Guantanamo, so you have at least another 8 years. He made that joke. When I was a kid, I lived in a country where people couldn't accept a black quarterback. Now, think about that. A black man was thought by his mere color not good enough to lead a football team. And now, to live in your time, Mr. President, when a black man can lead the entire free world.
All right. Some sharp edge comments there. Now, I'm going to play a piece. It's a thought-provoking piece in that there's more to it than what you're going to hear in this interview, because I'm going to ask you to respond by throwing forth some questions afterwards. This is about, do college students hate free speech? Please listen in.
Aggressions perpetrated against them on campus. Microaggressions are statements that intentionally or unintentionally send a negative message related to someone's membership in a marginalized group. We visited campus to ask Occidental students if they agree that the following statements could be considered microaggressions. They've all been documented as such on a college campus somewhere in the United States.
Have you heard of the term microaggression?
Yeah, that's a big thing on campus. If we see large-scale violence, we can name that as a macroaggression. But the way that we devalue that violence, the way that we silence that violence, that's a microaggression.
I'm asking an Asian American, where were you born?
Yes.
Very, very contextual, you know?
That's not a microaggression. That's just asking where they will pull.
Telling a black student that he or she is very articulate.
That is, yeah. Yes.
What about saying all lives matter?
I think because the history behind Black Lives Matter, it's kind of like appropriating a statement that was created specifically to talk about black lives being lost to police brutality. So that is.
I'm colorblind. I don't see race.
Possibly.
I believe the most qualified person should get the job.
Qualifications aren't really the only thing you should consider when hiring someone.
But if you're saying that the most qualified person is someone who is not a minority or not of a religion you believe in, then yes, that'd be a microaggression.
Saying God bless you after somebody sneezes.
Oh, that would be a microaggression because of different religions. Yeah, it could be a microaggression to someone who doesn't believe in God.
Yeah, I think that the harm there is relatively minimal.
So there's still some harm, though.
I would say there's not harm, but if it's being asked, clearly someone found
it. Maybe mini microaggression.
Perhaps.
Do you see any downside to creating a database full of statements that faculty and students make to each other in terms of protecting free speech values on campus?
Not in terms of protecting free speech value, but the idea of a database certainly raises eyebrows.
So, yes, we do need a system where we can report our experiences and that, like, a system of education or whatever.
I would say it's good to have it in place, but to have, like, harsh actions against it, it wouldn't be beneficial to student life.
It'll make a safer environment. So I fully support the council, and I think it's really great that the faculty is taking this initiative because it wasn't one of the demands. The faculty on their own said, like, we're going to do this because we believe it's what we should be doing.
Mm-hmm. So they went above and beyond to police hate speech.
I think so in some respects.
Protests are erupting on college campuses across the country as students demand that administrators address racial grievances through mandatory sensitivity training courses, hiring of more diverse faculty members, and the resignation of insufficiently responsive college presidents.
Change comes from listening, learning, caring.
Video captured at Yale University show a student shouting down a professor trying to engage her in conversation about the role of faculty in regulating students' Halloween costumes. This professor's wife, also a faculty member, later resigned from Yale, saying, "The current climate at Yale is not, in my view, conducive to civil dialogue and open inquiry." Another clip out of the University of Missouri shows students and at least one professor pushing journalists out of their self-styled safe space.
You're pushing me.
You need to get out. You need to get out.
No, I don't.
While these protesters are clearly exercising their First Amendment rights, images such as these have led more and more observers to wonder whether or not college students care about the free speech rights of others.
What are your thoughts on the concept of free speech? Do you support free speech?
Yes, I do support free speech. And Oxy is an environment that also supports differing opinions.
Free speech allows you to have new input constantly, and I think that's like a really big part of the community here at Oxy.
Well, that's the contradiction. They say they support free speech, their free speech. If you should even suggest something that they find offensive, even micro-offensive, then they want that registered in a database to be used as a reference point to get you fired or to say that no longer will we tolerate these statements. And everyone's got a different statement. So here's the – let's pull back now and look at the larger picture we're dealing with. When I believe that all lives matter, but Indian, Native American Indian, you know, their lives matter. Think of all the people that have been oppressed. Here's a group that I'll bet the average college student isn't aware were slaves, the Irish. In fact, have they read The Irish Slave Trade, The Forgotten White Slaves by John Martin? What if I told you that at one time, going clear back to the 1636, 1632, 1637, there were tens of thousands of Irish that were slaves, sold as slaves. They were living on St. Kitts and Montserrat and the other, the Jamaica. Yeah. In 1641, Ireland's population was 1,466,000. Exactly 11 years later, it was 616,000. That's a huge drop. Over 65% of the population of Ireland gone. And you're looking at all the hardships, the banishment, and that was because what was called the Confederation War of 1641 to 1652, and at the end of the war, vast numbers of Irish men, women, and children were forcibly transported to the American colonies by the English government. By the way, this is long before the English famine, which killed two million more of the Irish. Even though there was plenty of food in Ireland, the poor people didn't own the land, and therefore thousands of shiploads of produce and livestock was transported to England, where the people were allowed to starve to death. So here's the English transporting the Irish and as slaves to the Caribbean. In fact, they actually wrote about how many of the Irish women were sent there to be sexual servants They were there purely to serve. Quote from one of the statements, 100,000 young children who were orphans or had been taken from their Catholic parents were sent abroad into slavery in the West Indies, Virginia, and New England, where they might lose their faith and all knowledge of their nationality. For most instances, even their names were changed. Moreover, the contemporary writers assert that tens of thousands were taken prisoner, were sold in the American colonies as slaves with no respect to their former station in life. End quote. That is how they were perceived. And even when they came into the colonies, they had to belong to a church, and therefore there was no registration of them because they weren't listed in the same way that the slaves from Africa were. But there were lots of them. We're looking at hundreds of thousands. We're looking at a whole lot of children. We're looking at the sexual abuse of all these young women who were brought there. And yet we don't talk about that today. We don't look about how the English government, quote, referred to the Irish being transported as rogues, vagabonds, rebels, neutrals, felons, military prisoners, teachers, priests, maidens, etc. All historians call them indentured servants, slaves, and agreed that they were all there for political reasons. And, of course, when you have a slave, you don't have to pay them. Some of these people were paid. They were just used until they died. So, question, do their lives matter? And all that they have had to deal with? I think that before you start an argument, look carefully at the larger context of it. I believe that life is sacred until we show that we're not capable of understanding it. If we've gotten to a point where we only value our lives, our nationality, our religion, our ethnicity, then we've taken an enormous step backwards. When you look at the kind of beliefs that this generation has, how did it happen? I do not believe that the vast majority of these Generation Xers who are in school understand the consequences of not understanding the world we live in. You can create an artificial environment in high school or college, but then one day you're actually going to get into the real world, and you're going to meet people who are not a part of your print or your support system. And it's a different world then, different worldview. I know teachers who've been sent to rubber rooms because they asked their class to do homework. And in one particular instance, the teacher told me that there was a kid that would use their cell phone in class, wouldn't do homework, and so she gave him a lower grade. The parent came in, was raising hell, and made it all about the teacher. So therefore, she simply stopped giving any homework to any student and stopped asking them to turn off their cell phones because they just wouldn't stop texting during class. The fact they were learning nothing became irrelevant, because today, how many kids go to school to actually learn? What percentage? And what we have found is that if you make a kid feel uncomfortable by the way you teach, by the course you teach, by the examples you use, their feeling uncomfortable then falls into that microaggression, the micro violation. Well, then how are you supposed to talk about any of the issues of life? And how did this happen? I blame my generation. My generation is the most despicable generation in American history, the baby boomers, the most greedy, self-interested, selfish, snobbish asses in the history of America. My generation, we're responsible. And you know what's bad about it? Because our parents' generation, the greatest generation, they gave us everything. They sacrificed because they didn't want us feeling what they had to go through and experiencing during the Great Depression, where for 16 years between the Great Depression and the First World War, or the Second World War, they had gross privations. And so they may do. We didn't. We took everything for granted. We did things that interested us. And our kids were supposed to be better than any other kids. So we encouraged our kids not to develop personal discipline and regarding things that they didn't enjoy. If you don't like it, don't do it. If something's too hard, do something that's easy. And then we created infotainment market-driven, consumer, materialistic in every aspect. Our kids, the spoiled brats today, became the society that was created by the silent majority of the 1960s and 70s. Those who stuck with the great generation's agenda of hard work and an American dream through entrepreneurship, through character development, those virtues were forgotten. The new generation, the Bush, the Clintons, the Gore, and so many people on Wall Street and corporate America and the media, they were the new silent boomer majority. Liberal values and parenting of the 60s and 70s threw the baby out with the bathwater. Ethics of hard work, meeting a person halfway to get something that we wanted, doing things we don't enjoy but need to be done, having some discipline and boundaries, being appropriate in our manners and respect for life of others, not just our own, and looking for traditional values, all those were dropped. All of them. Now we wanted free-form, free-thinking parenting. Let your kids do whatever the hell they want. And don't put limits on them. Don't put standards on them. So pushing kids to grow up and become what the parents wanted them to be, endless school activities, clubs, extracurricular classes, this is the progenitor of what led to a society today that are narcissistic, self-centered, self-cherishing, adrenaline-seeking, entitled and emotionally spoiled, existentially superficial. Some are very bright as far as memory and specific detailed information, but completely ignorant of the world they live in, history, culture, and they actually lack limbic brain development, which focuses on being nurturing and empathetic. So when you look at a vacuous society of young millennials, remember they came from someplace. Pull back the lens and get the larger focus on their parents, the X generation and my generation. I'm Gary Noll. Those are my thoughts. I'd like to hear yours. Our talk back. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Back in a moment with your input. Please stay with us. As the phones are beginning to light up here, I'm going to just take a moment because I have something brand new to share with you. This is called the Total Body Moisturizer. It's big. It's 4.5 ounces. In it, you've got, here are my ingredients, nothing subtracted. You've got deionized water blended with oat beta-glucan, horsetail, nettles extract, aloe vera, the best aloe vera there is, the Miller extract, metaphone seed oil, vegetable sitol, alpha hydroxy acids, a beta hydroxy acid, that's willow bark and salicylic acid, and silica gel, the saccharide isomerate, vegetable glycerin, ester C, calcium ascorbate, phospholipid lecithin, and which is tissue respiratory factor. That you won't find in other products, most products. Coenzyme Q10, borage seed oil, oil of evening primrose, lycopene, tocopherol, vitamin E, retinolic palmitate, vitamin A, oat, beta-glucan, and essential oil fragrance. And just give you an idea, the oat beta-glucan, that helps to moisturize the skin to help it heal minor burns and wounds. Beta-glucan helps to reduce wrinkles and promote aging, anti-aging skin. It's used in skincare for centuries, and oats help to relieve itching and pain and help to heal minor wounds, and also are known for their moisturizing and smoothing effect on the skin. And then you got the aloe vera, containing over 200 nutrients, including anti-inflammatories, polysaccharides, enzymes, amino acids, vitamins and minerals, and wound-healing nutrients. And aloe increases cell wall permeability, allowing nutrients and active ingredients to be more readily carried through the skin while aiding in the removal of toxins. And aloe has been known to be soothing, moisturizing, and anti-inflammatory, and helps to stimulate collagen and elastin production. And then, of course, you got coenzyme Q10, which helps to restore the lipid barrier, making skin look and feel firmer, as well as preventing collagen degradation. And borage seed oil contains a fatty acid called gamma-linolenic acid, and that has anti-inflammatory effects. And the borage flour is an important antioxidant. So you have all of these wonderful ingredients in this brand new product. And why? Because I wanted to create what would be considered the best single overall moisturizer. You put it on in the morning, and you put it on your hands, your face, your neck. You won't see it. You'll get a very slight, lovely smell from it, and it is phenomenal for your skin. Put it where you got some bad skin, rough skin, scaly skin, dry skin. Put it on your knees. Put it where you got some crepey skin. Put it on your ankles, your feet. And then also, at night before you go to bed, do it again. And then you tell me, in 4 weeks, how much of a difference you see in your skin. This is a revolutionary new product, brand new, and it's called Total Body Moisturizer. Now, here's the good news. It normally sells for $49, down from $70, and it's yours for $34.99. $34.99. You're getting a big jar of 4.5 ounces. It'll be shipped out immediately. Call 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. For the brand new, and everybody at this time of year, especially in the summertime, you kidding me? You come back in after being in the sun, you need this on you, all right? And who doesn't have some skin on their body, their neck, their chin, their face, under their eyes, their forehead, their hands, their arms, their knees, their feet? Yeah, you put this over your whole body in the morning, after your shower, in the evening, before you go to bed. It's not greasy, it's not oily, you won't even know it's on. And you're getting it for just $34.99. That's my introductory offer. And that's good for 48 hours. 877-627-5065. Now, we're going to say, who do we have here calling in? We have, from Los Angeles, Patrick. Hi, Los. Hi, Patrick. You're on the air.
Hey, Gary. How are you?
Good.
I just wanted to call in and talk about what you were talking about a little earlier with today's generation and reflecting on the old. And I'm 30, and I'm very fortunate that I still have three of my grandparents. One just celebrated his 90th birthday the other month, and it's pretty troublesome not seeing the respect that some younger kids, even at my age, have for the elderly, and just sort of respect in general. And I think you're doing a great job, you know, always pointing that out. And I wanted to point out that one of the most frustrating moments I've seen recently is being someone who's always about holding the door for people, that even today now you got people not even appreciate you holding the door. In fact, I was with a friend who we were told by somebody that chivalry is dead, and then just kept walking as if that didn't mean anything. And so I think this is a huge problem, and I just want to thank you for always being on it and pointing these kind of issues out.
Thank you, Patrick. Remember, I said that there are those millennials who do have a sense of appreciation for commitment to higher ideals, a larger social ethic, who respect and honor all life, and that's because, more often than not, you've gotten that from your parents or grandparents. And there are, I'm guessing, I'm going to put that number at about 10% who are really quality people, and they're the ones who should be speaking out, writing out. In fact, I'm going to put this out now. Any millennial listening right now, as you are right now, Patrick from Los Angeles, write a little essay, 1-3-page essay, on what responsibility you believe your generation has to the larger community, people living in our society, to step up and try to take some responsibility to show that you care about issues, you're involved with them, and you're not mocking or ridiculing those who are not like you. And I will publish them, and I will present them on the air. All right? And I'll give you an email address in a moment. In fact, we'll put it on progressiveradionetwork.com so you can write them to Jason, and then he'll give them to me, because I'd like to hear, because I hired one of the guys who's Jeremy, who's 28 years old, and I hired him 4 years ago because of an essay he sent me on what it was like to have different upbringing, different parents, different disciplines, different values than his friends. And I found it heartwarming and inspirational. And after all, your generation, 80% are in moderate to severe debt. Why aren't they joining together to challenge the privatization of education, to challenge the debt? There shouldn't be any student debt. That's where the energy should be, and helping those to get rid of laws to get rid of debtors' prisons. Because right now, students or the parents or grandparents who signed on those loans can be arrested and put into a private jail, a private prison, because we now have made it where someone who is responsible for the debt goes to jail. So we need to do a whole lot more. And so good for you. Thank you for calling. And I'll take one more call on this. Let's say hello to Desiree from Brooklyn. Hi, Desiree. Your turn.
Hello. Hi. I know I don't have much time, but I wanted to call in today because I'm really interested in this. I've been trying to come up with a way to try and create a mass movement towards something, towards an idea. But how does one do that if no one really has clout? I mean, I'm from Brooklyn, grew up in Jackson Heights, native New Yorker. I'm 29, have students that will have it for the rest of my life. But I think there's something really wrong with the mentality of not just young people today. I mean with all people today, and how it's like been dumbed down. Just now, what you were saying, I mean, with students, I mean, the system's let us down. And I'm not excusing this lack of compassion for races, for ethnicities, for all sexes and whatnot, but there's so many faults in the system, and this kind of brainwashing and societal kind of undertones that are keeping us at a certain level that won't let us exceed these expectations that I'm sure we all want to do, we all want to achieve. But how do we get there? That's just all I wanted to say.
Right. Desiree, why don't you do this? Just like Patrick, why don't you write out what you believe are your generation's responsibilities to the society in which we all live, and not look at it as a separate, like Brooklyn or Bronx or someplace in Cleveland. We're all human beings. Therefore, we are all spiritually connected. So what about writing a simple essay, a critique, in whatever way you want, and send it to me. I will start posting these. We will then have a chat room where people who want to make a better world, who believe that we should live at higher ideals and a higher moral ethic, will start to read it. And therefore, you won't be alone, and you won't be powerless. After all, we have the Progressive Radio Network on our side, and that has got a lot of people, 246 million visits in the last year. So there are a lot of people thinking like you throughout the world, and it's important that the rest of the world understands when they think Americans are violent, greedy, and arrogant, who are they speaking about? Then they don't know the people I know, and they don't know the 330 million Americans. They may know some. They may know celebrities. They may know some that are in the public eye, and don't judge all Americans by those who are exhibitionists or those who are grandstanding, or those who think they represent more than what they do. Each person represents themselves. So we should all try to be models of good behavior, honesty, diligence, openness, creativity, and challenging that which we believe is wrong, but do so in a humanistic way. Otherwise, we then are looked upon in ways that we shouldn't around the world. So let's be a part of this new movement. Contact us, send your ideas, and I will see that those are circulated, so you'll have a lot of people to communicate with. All right, Desiree? All the best to you. Thank you for calling in, you and Patrick. We're out of time. I want to thank you all for listening and enjoy sharing more. But before you go, we have Lou Ann Panessi on the line. Hi, Lou Ann.
Hello, Gary. I'm calling to let you know that I am still interviewing for our upcoming retreat in August, and if there was ever a place to reflect on the very things that you've been speaking about today, it would be coming to the retreat. It's a place where like-minded people, all these great minds come together, the staff, you'll be there, and the attendees. We get so much input and wonderful insights from our attendees, their talents, their information. So if you're looking for a place to start your healing, maybe start that whole new chapter in your life, give me a call. I'm at 631-504-6198. That's 631-504-6198. Give a call, and let's get you down to Gary's retreat.
Good, and that's August 7th, and it is a place to start over. It is a place to meet like-minded people. So many wonderful things have happened to people when they have come, and it's only once a year for 1 week, so hope that people will come, Luann. And the number to call Luann is 631-504-6198. Now, finally, here's the email address for any of you around the world who want to email your thoughts. And it's prnstudio@gmail.com. prnstudio@gmail.com. Thank you all for listening.